Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:49 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is July 18th. Well, I thought we'd kick off today in Asia, where the second section was down over 1%, and this is confirming resistance in the region of the trend mean. And I think anyone with even a modicum of technical or chart reading experience can look at this chart and think, golly, this doesn't look particularly bullish. It looks really quite bearish. If one had to take a position, it would probably be on the short side. And of course, that's just simply based on the charts. It would appear to be, therefore, only a matter of time before we get some form of substantive action from the government and from the Bank of Japan. Of course, there is an election coming up in Japan, and there may be some selling going on ahead of that. There is, I suppose, the other point that Japan is one of the countries that is most exposed. Is most exposed to the global economy, and there has definitely been some slowing there. But the Nikkei has also been holding the sequence of lower rally highs since the end of last year. There is more of a triangular pattern here, and the much bigger question is whether the 20,000 point level is going to hold. When we then go ahead and look at China, the stock market there has been really quiet over the course of the last week or two, but it was in negative territory in here today, down by about 1%. This is another market which is going to be heavily dependent on the willingness of the monetary authorities to extend additional liquidity in order to support the market. And China is running big fiscal deficits, and certainly that is helping to promote the iron ore price. But it has to do more. But when we start to look at commodities, then we are beginning to see some evidence, at least, that there is the or there is a tendency among investors to price in the potential that we are going to get additional upside. Iron ore prices don't get updated every day, and this one dates from the 16th, but there has been a significant rebound in iron ore, not least because of China's stimulus, but our fiscal stimulus, but also because of the supply cuts from Brazil. Nickel was up 66 cents on the ETFS contract in here today. This has got a clear progression of higher major reaction lows over the course of the last 3.5 years, and it is pushing on the upside once more, and part of the reason for that is because of a backwardation. Well, there is a short-term supply deficit. There has certainly been some hoarding of nickel off the markets. Then it is also the metal that is perhaps most levered to the innovations that are coming down the pipe in terms of battery technology. Tesla's 8-to-1-to-1 ratio is 8 times nickel relative to 1 time cobalt. And that's a significant uptick. It used to be really rather a considerably less amount of nickel. Now we're seeing that it is the major component in new batteries. Well, that should help to support the price over the medium term. But what I guess it is also is at least some evidence that we are starting to see that industrial resources are picking up. Copper was in positive territory today, but not in an especially dynamic manner. It really does need to push back above the trend mean in order to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Well, we are in the middle of earnings season, and the S&P 500 is in positive territory in here today. We continue to see that there's a little consolidation going on and that the breakout has held. Importantly, the Russell 2000 was in positive territory in here today, and but not in an especially dynamic manner. It really does need to push back above the 1600 point level in order to confirm that we are back in a demand-dominated environment. The Philadelphia Semiconductors Index continues to rebound. This is a really quite impressive bounce from the region of the trend mean and the upper side of the underlying range. And as long as that is held, then this is looking reasonable. in terms of the bullish outlook. Of course, semiconductors generally tend to be a lead indicator. The fact that they're not collapsing is rather positive here. Then when we think about the banking sector, well, the S&P 500 banks was in positive territory in here today, and it is slowly but surely consolidating above the trend mean. So that at least is a positive. There is still this 18-month sequence of lower rally highs that's going to have to be broken in order to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment, but it is not collapsing here. And I think that's perhaps the most important point, that when we look at a significant number of these markets, that there are the larger cap markets are at new all-time highs, and the defensive sectors are at new all-time highs. What is also standing out in here today is the earnings that are coming through from Philip Morris International. It was the leading advancer on the S&P 500 today, and it does look like it is going to successfully push through that $90 area and complete this inverse head and shoulders pattern. And therefore, I think it is perhaps worth taking a look at some of these tobacco companies. They're not exactly the first port of call for a lot of people, but we have really very depressed levels. They have got yields in the order of 6.5%, and they're breaking their downtrends. Well, this return to relative performance by highly defensive sectors is largely representative of late stage activity. The continued outperformance of large caps is also suggestive of a narrowing of breadth. And then, of course, we have the transportation index. Well, United Airlines surprised on the upside a couple of days ago, then CSX yesterday surprised on the downside. And now the bigger question is whether that sequence of high reaction lows since the beginning of June is going to hold. Certainly, this was a big pullback over the last 2 days. More than anything else, this does highlight that it's industrial companies, logistics companies that are really feeling the ill effects of the trade war. That's also part of the reason why Japan is underperforming. And perhaps if we look at the mid caps in Germany, for example, then their inability so far at least to push on to new high ground is also representative of that exact same phenomenon. In fact, the commonality that we have between the mid caps in the UK and those in in Germany is really quite impressive, despite the fact that they're weighted by completely different kinds of companies. Then, when we think about, well, where is all of this heading in terms of the overall outlook? Well, the market is pricing in that we're going to have not just a 25 basis point cut, but more than that. Earlier on today, Treasury yields were about 5 basis points above where they closed out. And they're coming back down now to test the 2% level. So far, this has been a somewhat smaller reaction in terms of a counter trend rally in terms of this decline in the yield, and the pace of the decline has been picking up, particularly in May and June. So there is obviously a clear incentive for investors to try and price in that we're not just going to have a 25 basis point cut, but it might even be 50 basis points. I rather think that if we were to get 50 basis points, that would be probably not great for sentiment. Historically, it's usually when they start cutting interest rates that people start to really address the slowdown fears in terms of their estimates. Then you have to think we have to consider that what kind of signal it's sending, that if the Federal Reserve is willing to cut by 50 basis points before the growth outlook in fact really does turn downwards, then that is probably suggestive that they really are afraid of a slowdown. If they cut by 25 basis points and say that they're just unwinding the hasty cut that they put, or their hike that they put in back in December, I think that really would be better for sentiment. But the bond market is definitely of the other view. And that is so far what is supporting the stock market as well, that there is the realistic potential that we're going to get additional stimulus coming down the pipe, and that is likely to help to inflate assets just about everywhere. And the strength of the bond market and the strength of the stock market is being, I think, where we are starting to see weakness now is in the dollar. And the dollar was down in a reasonably dynamic manner in here today. It's now closing below the trend mean. This isn't the first time it's done that, but the Federal Reserve is going to stop reducing the size of the balance sheet. They're going to cut interest rates. The deficits are still expanding. There is very likely to be at least a stopgap measure introduced to stop the federal government from shutting down before all the politicians head off on holiday. And it's highly unlikely that they're going to do anything to contain deficits. That's all pointing towards a willingness by the US administration to allow the dollar to continue to contract. Well, we're on the potential, I guess the real potential here is that we are going to get a competitive environment for weaker currencies. Certainly, the Europeans do not want a stronger euro, but it is firming from this 110 area. The pound did also firm in here today. If we look at it versus the euro, it had failed to sustain the move above 115, came all the way back down to test the lower side of the underlying range, and we started to see the first evidence of steadying coming in here today, not least because Parliament has sent a very clear message to the new Conservative Prime Minister that they're not going to allow a hard Brexit. Well, I continue to think that that is something that is really not a great idea when one is trying to negotiate, regardless of whether one's intentions are to allow a hard Brexit or not. There's nothing to be gained by broadcasting the fact, but nonetheless, that is exactly what Parliament is doing, and it is helping to support the currency. There has been a rivetingly consistent sequence of lower rally highs, and if it follows through on the upside tomorrow, that will be broken, and it would confirm near-term support in the region of that 110 area. The other interesting currency, I think, out there right now is the Australian dollar. It was also in positive territory in here today. Well, the Australian Central Bank is cutting interest rates, the government is running a fiscal deficit, and they're trying to support the domestic economy. But on the other side of the ledger, you have the USA, which is even more intent on devaluing its currency. And on a relative value basis, the Australian dollar does look cheap. The big question, however, is whether it is going to be able to sustain a move above the trend mean. With iron ore prices rallying, with the supply of natural gas out of Australia almost more than doubling in the last 4 years, then there is the potential here that if commodity prices do start to trend higher, then people are going to start paying attention to that, and there is the scope for the Australian dollar to break its downtrend. Think that's equally true for the New Zealand dollar. And it has already pushed back above its trend mean. It's confirmed support in the region of the 65-cent level. It didn't quite get all the way down to test the 2015 lows. When we then think about the performance of the respective stock markets, well, in nominal terms, the weakness of the their respective currencies has helped the nominal prices for both the New Zealand and Australian markets. The New Zealand market is now increasingly overextended, but it has been one of the most impressive and consistent trends in the world, and now it does look like the pace of that advance is accelerating. So in the absence of a clear downward dynamic, we can probably give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. But it would probably be better for the health of the econ of the stock market expansion if we were to see a reversion to the mean in the near term. If this acceleration continues, then it's likely that we are heading towards a significant medium-term peak. And I think that brings us to Netflix, because there was practically no better example of a clear acceleration in the first half of last year than Netflix. It doubled in the space of about 5 months. Then it pulled back violently in the second half of the year and recouped almost the entire decline, and then with disappointing subscriber growth numbers yesterday, pulled back very violently. And now it has gone from the upper side of the range to break downwards. It was, I think the big question now is it really worth 100 times earnings? That's the really big question. When they've lost subscribers in North America because they hiked prices. The problem for Netflix is that a lot of the content that they're aiming at is very cookie cutter in nature, and they one of the I thought one of the interesting things that in a lot of the news coverage was that they're depending on the shows like Stranger Things for the third quarter, but everyone has already seen it. That's the whole point with streaming services. You can binge watch these things. It's not like you get the residual value out of a series over the course of months. People usually just watch them over the course of a weekend, and I think that's one of the challenges that they have to keep coming up with more original content, and that is extraordinarily difficult to do. And not least because there's a competitive environment for the best writers. Then I think it's also worth considering that outside of streaming, that Microsoft just released its earnings and they were well ahead of estimates. But there is a short-term oversold condition, or excuse me, overbought condition here, and I think it is quite likely that we're going to get at least some consolidation here, considering that the share price has done phenomenally well over the course of the first half of the year. Going from 100 to 140 is no mean feat. And it has taken Microsoft to become the most valuable company in the world. I think that we are at a rather important juncture here. With earnings coming through, the clearest weakness is in the industrial sector, but the consumer staples sector and the companies that have adopted a subscription business model continue to do rather well. And that, I think, highlights the strength of the domestic US economy relative to the wider global economy, and most particularly the weakness that we have in China. That dichotomy is, I think, likely to encourage other central banks to pursue an easier suite of policy options. And there is the real possibility that we are moving towards a competitive currency devaluation. So that brings us to gold, and it was up $20 in here today and breaking on the upside. So this is now a very clear resolution of this short-term trend, and it is a powerful breakout from the 6.5 year range. It is now finally starting to take silver with it, and silver prices were up in a dynamic manner again in here today. If there was any doubt about the ability of silver to break its sequence of lower rally highs, they have been dispelled, and now there is a clear potential for catch-up. Platinum is still being traded based on its reliance on the automotive sector, but it was also in positive territory in here today. But what I do think is going on is that people are playing the pairs trade, and palladium, having been at such a wide overvaluation relative to the other precious metals, was weaker in here today. Then when we look at the performance of Bitcoin, it was up about $900 in here today. And this is a clear bounce from the region of this psychological $10,000 level. The most, I think, appropriate way to look at the chart is on a log scale. Excuse me. Because the log scale gives us a clear view on the percentage moves, and the vast majority of people investing in the cryptocurrencies are doing so on an unleveraged basis. But the performance both of gold and cryptocurrencies, that is very representative of the hedge that's going on to try and preserve capital against a background where there is a clear risk of currency devaluation. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.